Let's do our positive affirmations. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. Y en español, yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. All right. Well, give yourselves a hand. I think we're going to be doing those affirmations worldwide, too. What do you guys think? Oh, yeah, baby. Well, today we're going to enter into part two of a five-part teaching series called Church Behavior. And this teaching, 2 Corinthians 1:12, is the fountainhead. And so I asked Chris just to have that up so people could see it. And as we move through these different parts, all of them are referenced back to this verse. This is our key verse. And before I get into part two, I just wanted to touch on a couple things out of part one. We learned that the word anastrepho is the Greek word for conversation, and the word conversation is an old English word that refers to behavior or living somewhere. And so when it says we have had our conversation, a nice way to translate that could be manner of life. That's what I've always used. And so there's a metaphoric meaning with that as well. It means to busy or conduct yourself. Now you can get all this out of part one. I'm just touching on it. And there are quite a few different explore options that we have because of this verse. And the entirety of the teaching, all parts, include reference to the keywords in this verse. For instance, rejoicing, testimony, conscious, and so forth. And last time I taught part one, I taught about anastrophe. And I let the Bible define it. I gave you four different verses. And then I also let the Bible define the metaphoric meaning. But that's really what this teaching is about, the remainder of these parts, the metaphoric meaning, because it's called church behavior. How do you behave? What is your manner of life in the church? And so when I ended the teaching last time, I read this verse, and I'll do that now. And then I indicated that we're going to start looking at the first word, the word rejoicing. So let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation, anastropho, conduct, the way we behave, the way we live in the world, and more abundantly to you. There are so many key words in this verse, and that's why there's five parts. So we're going to look at rejoicing. To boast about our conduct, our conscience must make testimony. That means we talk about it. When you give a testimony, you're talking about something. I used to participate in the Mormon church a long, long time ago, and trust me, I've tried them all, but I did have experiences in the Mormon church, and one thing that they do in their Sunday worship meetings is they have people come up and give a testimony. That's like a period of time that's reserved for that. And so people come out of the audience and give a testimony of their Mormon faith or some experience they had. It's when you talk about something. I thought that was a good reference. For our rejoicing is this. We're going to let our conscience talk, the testimony of our conscience. But we're focusing on the word rejoicing. Well, I have to break it to you that rejoicing is really an illegitimate word here. It's not about rejoicing. The word rejoicing comes from the Greek word that means boasting. So it should be, for our boasting is this, letting our conscience talk. Okay, I'm skipping ahead when I give you those quickies, but testimony of our conscience. Our boasting is this, we boast about what our conscience has to say. We boast about what our conscience has to say. Well, your conscience is something inside you. And we'll get to that in a minute. But I'd like you to turn to Romans chapter 3. And then we'll look at verse 27. We're looking at the word rejoicing, which is boasting. And it's translated properly in Romans 3:27. Where is boasting then? Romans 3:27. Is it excluded? No, you're allowed to do some boasting. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. If you are ever going to do any boasting as a Christian, it has to be coordinated with the law of faith, not with your works. Yuck, no works here. Romans chapter 15, and I'm showing you two examples of the word boast. And that's how I'm going to proceed through these parts so that you can get a good background of each of these words. Now, in no way is this an exhaustive teaching. It really requires you to go in and work some of these verses on your own. You'll see that, especially when you see how I've summarize things when we get into the word testimony, and of course the rest of them too. Instead of us looking at every verse, which would take forever, I'm going to summarize every verse, and then you can go find the verses when you do a word study, and then you'll see what I'm talking about. So this is like a kickstart. Church behavior, part two, the kickstart. Romans 15, verse 17. I have therefore, whereof I may glory. And that word glory is the word boast. So glory is not a good word. I mean, really, you want to stick with one, okay? For most cases, you can. Sometimes you can't. But let's just stick with boasting right now, because I think we all understand what it means to boast. I have therefore whereof I may boast through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. So in those things which pertain to God, boasting is allowed. And there you have boasting. So anytime you read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, the phrase, for our rejoicing, know that the word rejoicing is boasting. Well, that leads us to word number two, the testimony. We're going to look at testimony, and this is really fun. I think you guys are going to love this because you're going to see some practical meanings of these words, and it's going to make sense. It's not just going to be a collection of keywords. This stuff's really going to make sense. Stuff that you can actually apply in your own life and that you should be, especially when you see what Paul did. Okay, let's do it. Matthew chapter 8. Testimony is the Greek word maturion, M-A-R-T-U-R-I-O-N, and the first time it was used is in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. And Jesus saith, did I say Matthew chapter 8? I'm sorry, Chris. It's Matthew chapter 8, verse 4, not Matthew chapter 4. My bad. Okay, Matthew chapter 8, verse 4. There we go. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way. Show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. And I know you're thinking, well, what does this verse have to do with my life? Ah, maybe nothing. Maybe something. What I'm trying to do is show you what testimony means. And you see the word testimony used at the very end of that verse. Well, a cleansed leper had to go to the priest and provide evidence that he had been cleansed from the leprosy disease. Well, there you have it. So testimony is the evidence that you would bring. And there are many other verses that use this word because it literally means evidence given. So this verse in Matthew 8, verse 4 is the first one, but there's many more, and I shall now summarize them. So just listen. Testimony is the evidence you would bring before governors and kings for Jesus' sake against them and the nations. The next one, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for evidence of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The next one, the man, I love this one. In fact, Chris, can you bring up 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5? You guys have got to see this. You're not going to believe it. It's so cool. Chapter 2, verse 5. I should read it to you. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I didn't write that. That's the Bible. Jesus Christ is a man who, Jesus Christ, gave himself for a ransom for all, to be martyrio, testified, evidence given in due time. Evidence given about what? That he was the ransom and that he is a man. That's amazing. The man Christ Jesus, our mediator, will be evidenced in due time. And won't they be surprised? Because almost no one believes that Jesus Christ is a man. They all talk about him being God, but the Bible never says that. You cannot find one verse accurately translated that says Jesus Christ is not Jesus Christ. He's actually Elohim. He's actually Jehovah. He's actually God. Oh my goodness, 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 goodness. Well, one day, evidence will be given that he is a man and that he was the ransom. Well, I had to show that. Okay, the next one, the temple of the tabernacle of the evidence given, of the testimony, was removed from earth and is now in heaven. That's exciting. And will be opened when the angels pour out the seven vials of God's wrath. Well, without a doubt, we now know that testimony means evidence given. And that's really clear with that leprosy disease. So when you read our key verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, for our boasting is this, the evidence given of our conscience, or that our conscience provides evidence that our conscience gives evidence. Wow. Well, we haven't got to the rest of the verse yet, but we're really working up to something big. Because we're going to have something to boast about if we're doing the right thing, which has all to do with our conscience. And our conscience has a voice that's going to speak and provide evidence. There you go. Well, let's go ahead and look at conscience. That's our next word. The word conscience is the Greek word sunaidesis. Sunaidesis, sunaidesis, and it means perception or moral consciousness. Perception or moral consciousness. It's where conviction takes place within man. And we know from a verse that we're probably very familiar with, Paul lived in all good conscience before God. And as you study this word, sunaidesis, and you'll find these exact verses when you do a word study, you'll find that Ananias commanded that they smite Paul on the mouth. Well, you'll also find that Paul exercised himself to always have a conscience, a moral consciousness, even perceptions void of offense toward God and men. The inner voice of Paul was void of offense, not only before God, not only toward God, but toward man and before men. The works of the law are written in the nation's hearts, accusing or excusing them. So these people, these billions of people in the world that do not adhere to God, do not adhere to Christianity, do not adhere to the Jewish religion, or any bloodline of them. These are separate people. They're called the nations. And they comprise the majority of the world. But they all have a conscience. And that conscience excuses or accuses them of moral and right living. Their conscience bears witness. That's right. This is a very powerful voice within them. When we speak the truth, our conscience bears each of us witness in Holy Spirit. Well, now you've got Christ in you, and because you have Christ in you, there's a dynamic inner working between your conscience and Christ in you. The Word says we're to submit ourselves unto God's ministers. Now, I know what many of the churches teach. That's out of Romans 13. And they say you're supposed to obey the policeman. That is absolutely not what that verse is teaching. Now, maybe you're supposed to obey policemen, maybe not. That's a choice you got to make. But that chapter talks about gift ministries in the church. It talks about ministers, not policemen. When you get that straight, well, you got to leave the Living Bible behind, throw it in the Gehenna. It's nothing but garbage. And you've got to pick up an accurate Bible, like the King James Bible, and then understand that God's ministers, those operating a ministry, that we're supposed to submit to them. Because it's for wrath's sake and also for conscience sake. Because if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing as a Christian, a minister has the right to tell you that. And you have the responsibility to listen. That's what Romans 13 is about. Well, we really want to be part of the move of God's word. We don't want to be interfering with what Jesus Christ is doing. Oh my goodness, no, we don't. Well, And then finally, we learn, and Chris, you can turn to Acts 24. We learn that wounding a believer's weak conscience is a sin against Christ. So people grow in the Word. When they become involved with God's Word, they're not know-it-alls, and they don't have it all together. And so if you've been in the Word for a longer time, you don't have the right to go wound them, their weak conscience, because that's a sin against Christ. You got to be real careful with that. Well, the last on conscience is Acts chapter 24, verse 16. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and men. Wow. Now, one of my favorite words in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12 is simplicity. And that is because this word is so intricately founded in the subject of abundant sharing. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, we're going to be going back to this verse 1,000 times. For our boasting is this, that evidence given of our moral consciousness, that in simplicity, and that's the word we're going to look at right now, that in simplicity, it is the Greek word haplotes, H-A-P-L-O-T-E-S, and it means single-mindedness. It's talking about focus. Getting rid of the blur, you really need to be focused on abundant sharing in that context that I've referred to. In fact, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It is with great joy that I bring to you once again one of the foundational scriptures of abundant sharing. We can't teach this enough. Verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Wow, that's a mouthful. Wow, that word liberality is haplotes. Yes, it was focused giving. These Macedonian believers were in a great trial of mental pressure. And while they were under this mental pressure, of which all of you can relate, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded. Deep poverty means deep commitment to give. They had an abundance of joy in mental pressure. And they had a deep commitment to give. But not only did they have this abundance in deep, but what that meant was those two things were abounding in their life unto the riches of their focus. So the more pressure they had, the more commitment to give they had, guess what? The more joy they had, but the more focused they became. That's what that's talking about. Wow, that's just so great. Oh my gosh, that's just so great. And so we know that focus along the themes of God's Word causes us thanksgiving. And it's absolutely fantastic that if you can focus yourself on biblical truths, that you're going to be rich in more focus, more joy, more deep commitment to continue giving. Oh, it's just so great. But the nice translation for that word simplicity is focus. Focus mind, focus mentality, anything with focus. They were focused. Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12 again. For our rejoicing, our boasting is this. So we could just say, hey, Here's how I boast, okay? I'm a boaster, and this is what I do. The testimony of my conscience, the evidence given of my moral consciousness. Okay, so when my conscience speaks out in boasting, when my conscience starts boasting about evidences I have, when my conscience proves that I'm pure before God and men, and it gives evidence for that, here's how that works. That in focus, when my mind is focused on the things of God and godly sincerity. So in focusing on God's word and in godly sincerity. Well, what is godly sincerity? Oh my goodness. Another one of these words. I got a whole list of them too. This is a word. It's elekrinia. It's kind of a cute word. It's Ellie. We had a girl in one of our stories named Ellie. I just thought it was a cute name. Well, elekrinia. Yay for Ellie. Godly sincerity. Elekrinia. It means clearness or purity. That's right. Clearness or purity. In fact, you're pretty close there in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We can read an example of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And in verse 17, for we are not as many, and I'm going to brag about this one till the cows come home. We are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity. Well, that's the word. Clearness and purity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Man, we are tied to Christ in everything we say and do. Paul told them to keep the feast with the unleavened sincerity and truth, with this cleanness, with this purity. When giving the testimony of our conscience, it is to be with godly purity. It's supposed to be with godly clearness. Godly purity, godly clearness will keep us from corrupting the word of God. This always is going to come back to speaking the word clearly, accurately. No corruption whatsoever, not only with the word, but also in our lifestyles. And then the next one in our key verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. I'll read that. For our boasting, when we boast, when our conscience speaks out with evidence, it's in the simplicity and that clearness and purity and godly sincerity. And so it says, not with fleshly wisdom. So you can combine God and simplicity focus and godly sincerity as really important ideas here. But then you have to take it one step further away from the godly and into the fleshly realm. But it says not with fleshly wisdom. And that is absolutely important. Not with fleshly wisdom. When your conscience speaks out and gives evidence that you're pure, that your lifestyle is pure, that you're focused, there better not be one iota of fleshly wisdom in there. Wow, I don't want any flesh in here. Well, fleshly is the word sarkikos. That's kind of cute too. Sarkikos, like, if you wanted to say a word all day long, you could walk around your house going, Kikos, Kikos, Kikos. Maybe you could pick Ellie too. Ellie, Ellie, and Kikos. And you're going to learn Greek words like crazy. Just have some fun with it. But sarkikos is a word that you'll see in the Bible a lot in the text. And it means carnal. It's referring to a carnal source, not with wisdom that comes from a carnal source. That comes from a fleshly source. Paul was partakers of the Gentiles' spiritual things. And this is a summary of the verses relating to sarkikos. Kikos, kikos, sarkikos. Oh, man. Am I tiring you out yet? Well, the believers in Macedonia and Achaia were to minister to the Gentiles in carnal things. Carnal meaning things that they could use. And it's talking about abundant sharing. Until believers grow up spiritually, they are ministered to in carnal things. That's when they're babes in Christ. Well, when I teach, I've got to be careful about that, because if I need to just be giving everybody a glass of milk, that's what I'm supposed to do. But if it's time to bring out the eggplant Auflauf, that's a German word for, I don't know, whatever you call it. Eggplant. Gosh, I can't remember the word. It starts with a C in English. When you cook something all together with something. Auflauf, that's the German word. Sorry. But you got to bring out some meatier foods, some heavier foods. You know, they just don't want to be drinking milk. And so it's my responsibility to say, look, you know, we need to get into some bigger things here. And that's what this teaching series is. It's bigger things, not carnal things. We want to get into spiritual things when you're not a babe anymore. Well, how do you know if there's a lot of carnality going on among believers? Oh, that's interesting. Because a teacher needs to know if he's supposed to be giving out milk, right? But how does he know? Well, this word study that you're going to do with sarkikos will help you figure that out. And you will learn that envy, strife, and divisions are hallmarks of carnal works. So where you have envy, strife, and divisions, trust me, they're sucking down the milk, okay? It's people that bicker about who got you into the Word. That's a carnal thing. And anybody that's bickering about who got you into the Word, the only thing they're doing is buying gallons of milk and taking them home. That's it. Okay? Wisdom, Sophia, is very simply wisdom. Wisdom is like knowledge applied. It's words that you can actually take and apply in your life. That's very easy. I'll show you two verses with that. And then we will close this teaching. Matthew 12 contains one that I really wanted to share with you. And then after I read the second one, I'm going to go back to our theme verse and we'll close out the teaching by reading that. Based on what we've learned today. Matthew 12, verse 42. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And we're looking at the word wisdom. We already talked about sarkikos, and now we're talking about Sophia. Sophia. We had a lady named Sophia come to our fellowships for the longest time. And it's a it's a pretty common, I guess, Mexican name, Sophia. And that means wisdom. And so fleshly wisdom. Well, this queen of the south wanted Solomon's wisdom. He wanted his knowledge applied. She wanted to tap into what he could offer her with wisdom. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Matthew 13 and verse 54. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue. Oh, man, that's real close to home. Insomuch that they were astonished. Now, this is where they went And he respected that, but he brought them not what they were expecting. And said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Well, they were stunned that Jesus had so much of this wisdom. And so what we've done is we've looked at Sarkikos, Sophia, and we know that when we boast, and Chris, can you put that verse up, please? Our key verse. When we boast, we can truly say, our boasting is this. If you can't say this, you don't want to be boasting, okay? Our boasting is this. My conscience provides evidence that I'm focused and clean and pure. And it's talking about the consciences, okay? And it has what, and my boasting will have nothing to do with fleshly wisdom, carnal things. And that's where we're going to stop today.